So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey folks, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. It's Tommy Freedom coming at you for another 30 minutes. Now before I start, I want to apologize off the bat. I did bite my tongue again the other night, and it is still very swollen, very sore, so I'm having trouble speaking. And this has happened ever since I had those two molars removed last year. My tongue is wide to begin with. I have like the world's widest tongue. Well, actually, that's an exaggeration. The world's widest tongue belongs to Byron Schlenker, and it's 3.37 inches wide. Mine is only a little over 2 1/4, but it's still fairly wide. And when those teeth were removed, it allowed my tongue to fit back into a space where normally it doesn't belong, and it altered my speech a little bit. And in addition to that, I have a tendency when I am lying on my back in bed that all of a sudden I will slam my jaws shut and the back of my tongue gets in the way, and that one tooth that's in between the two that were removed takes a nice slice across the side of my tongue in the back, and it has a lot to do with my speech. So I do apologize for that. If you go back before I had those teeth pulled, you will hear a difference in my speech. And it's kind of like, I guess, getting your tongue pierced. It makes it swell and it alters your speech a little bit. So as someone who had their tongue pierced would not become a public speaker, having those teeth removed has affected my speech pattern, and it just aggravates me to no end because I do like speaking. I like doing this show. I like doing stuff on TV, and it has really, really altered that. So if I can ever afford to get something put back in that place, I will definitely do it. In the meantime, I'd like to go to that dentist who removed my wisdom tooth needlessly and kick him right square in the family jewels there. I want to focus mainly, if not wholly, this week on the so-called epidemic of gun violence, which is essentially contrived. And it starts with Colt announcing at the end of last week that it will no longer manufacture AR-15s for civilian use, just for the military and contractors. And MSNBC is just literally almost orgasmic over this, along with the entire left wing, including Beto O'Rourke, most especially. And their perceived reason for Colt discontinuing its sales of the AR-15 are because they're losing sales, because public opinion has swayed, and people don't like these evil guns. But the real reason for this is the fact that they're overpriced, and their quality is spotty, to say the least. And Colt actually lost the M16 contract back in the late 80s or early 90s. I don't remember who took it over. It was Olympic Arms or one of them. But anyway, they lost the contract. And it's because they were overpriced and the quality was horrible. So their sales have been faltering for years. This is nothing new. It was simply just a question of economics. Hey, we're not selling these things, nobody's buying them, so we're just going to quit selling them. And they've got like 350, 375 competitors out there, people who are making these things a lot cheaper and in many cases a lot better. So that is the whole Colt story. It's pretty simple when you just look at the truth, and that includes facts and figures, which the media typically does not do. But let's just look at facts and figures here, because again, I do want to talk to you about this contrived gun epidemic of mass shootings that is sweeping the nation, according to people like Bernie Sanders. The Department of Defense collects data from every municipality across this country. We're talking almost down to the neighborhood. I mean, cities, counties, states, nationally, everything. And they build a computer algorithm dealing with all the statistics. And every year, they release the cold, hard numbers, which are commonly known as facts, of who really gets murdered in this country. And this is broken down by gender, by age, ethnicity, location, etc. And this deals with what killed them, how they were killed, etc. And for 8 years, Barack Obama controlled the release of these numbers. Eric Holder had it for 5 years, and then who was it? Loretta Lynch took over for another three. And they were putting out an anti-gun agenda. So they were controlling the numbers that were released. And we were just absolutely horrified at all of these gun shootings, these killings. Well, here's hard numbers, folks. Hard numbers actually show that gun violence is on a 30-year decline. It's not rising. There's no epidemic. What is an epidemic? Well, an epidemic is a disease. It's something that's contagious that you can catch. But you can't catch homicidal urges. But how many times have we heard from Kamala Harris, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, or buy a shotgun, Joe Biden? I can't catch gun violence. I can't walk through the mall or go to the grocery store and catch a mass shooting. Somebody can't come by and just give that to me. Now, the Republicans need to understand this. They need to get a hold of this, and they need to clarify this for the public. There is no such thing as an epidemic of gun violence. Right now, firearm violence is lower than suicide. Now, when was the last time we heard about a suicide epidemic? Well, never. But suicide rates have pretty much remained steady for the past 35 to 40 years. Now, back in the 1980s, gun murders and all murders were twice the rate of that of suicide. And now it's fallen considerably. In addition to that, the number of guns that people own has gone up. So the numbers aren't working here. This is the complete opposite of an epidemic. But people believe it. They think this is so. They hear it on the media, they repeat it, and eventually they believe it. And this isn't just gun crime either. It's all violent crime that has dropped, while the rate of gun sales has increased dramatically. We are at a 30-year low, but this contrived epidemic is getting all the attention. Where there are more guns, there's less crime. This is a proven statistic, okay? California has the most oppressive laws for firearms in the nation, but it has the most gun sales. This is like literally one of the largest markets on earth for gun sales. And most of these are not legal. I'm just saying that the number of gun sales in California surpasses pretty much even the Middle East. So this shows that gun laws don't work. All this is doing is punishing the law-abiding citizens who abide by the law. Now, I want to give you an example of more guns equaling less violence. Perhaps you have heard of a town called Compton, California. I'm sure you probably heard of it. It's very prevalent in rap music. It is a very largely black area. It's in LA. And in Los Angeles, you have many neighborhoods that are very poor, but are literally awash in guns. Now, one of these neighborhoods is called Sylmar, and there are enough small arms in Sylmar to liberate a small country like Cuba. Compton could probably liberate Venezuela. We're talking a lot of guns. And when I say small arms, I mean real AK-47s. Not the semi-auto gun show models like Wassers or Macs, but real full-auto AK-47s. These are select fire guns that are not legal. All right? Now, would you like to guess what you never ever hear of in Compton or Sylmar or LBC? And for those of you who don't live in California, LBC is Long Beach. And it does not stand for Long Beach Crips or Long Beach City or Long Beach Compton. It stands for Long Beach, California. If you're from out there, you know this. I'm just saying for people who don't live on the left coast. But anyway, what do you never hear of in any of those places, no matter what they stand for? Mass shootings. No, George, they're not called California shootings instead. They're mass shootings. It doesn't matter what state they're in. Now, this isn't because of restrictive laws. It's because most of the guns there are illegal. It's just that they're there. The only guns they are restricting are those that are owned by law-abiding citizens. The criminals don't follow these laws. They never have, and they never will. But the left just doesn't understand that. Now, there's enough small arms to liberate a country in those three areas. And do you know what's missing in all of their high schools? Three things. Ritalin, Adderall, and white males. Yes, I said white males. I know that black males are much more violent. We all know this, but I'm talking about mass shootings here, not just thuggery and general violence. Ritalin, Adderall, and white males. Now, this is very important, and I will explain that further shortly. The increase in mass shootings lately is disturbing, to say the least. Actually, it's frightening. Now, the FBI defines a mass shooting as four or more people killed, not including the shooter. Now, from 1984 to 94, there were only 12 mass shootings. Then in the 1990s, things started going up and up and up. It was under the Clinton gun ban that they went up to their all-time high. So it proves that restricting these firearms doesn't work. So where is all this coming from? Who is causing all of this? Well, it's middle-class white males ages 16 to 29. Millennials. These are the very people who hate guns, and they're using them at an alarming rate to kill people. It's not you and me. It's them. 80% of these crimes are committed by white millennials. But why? Well, violent video games, for one. This is conditioning. They're used to playing these games, these violent games where they're going around corners holding a gun and shooting people. And you get points for the more people that you kill. That's number one. But number two, and the biggest reason, are prescribed drugs. Not illegal drugs. I'm not talking weed, LSD, or anything like that. I'm talking drugs like Ritalin and Adderall and the like. So little Johnny goes to the principal for being disruptive. Then he's sent to the school nurse, who then calls the parents of the kid and tells them to take him to the doctor, who puts him on these meds. When I was a kid, we got a good talking to, or we just simply outgrew it. One of the coaches would take us for a walk with our head held against his rib cage, and we had a heart-to-heart talk. It was more like a head-to-heart talk, but you get the picture, all right? If that happened today, and I or another kid were disruptive, we'd be sent in for a mental evaluation. We'd get a prescription for Ritalin or Adderall or whatever. When I was a kid, I could never finish my work, all right? I'd get bored and I'd just start playing with the other kids. But I was never disruptive. I just simply leave my work alone because I couldn't focus on it. So the teacher would come over and say, Tommy, have you finished your work yet? No, Mrs. Reisner, we'll go back and finish your work and you can play. Okay, 5 minutes later, I'm back playing with the kids again. And this would go on and on and on. So I'm fairly certain it was ADHD. And I've still got it. I mean, this is why I act, I write, I deliver newspapers a couple days a week, I have my own line of walking sticks, and seasonally I patrol a forest protecting endangered trees. I'm easily bored, and doing multiple things keeps me active. That's just something I can do myself. But today, the answer is to give them drugs, put them on these medications, quiet them down, and it conditions them. But what happens when they stop? The Aurora, Colorado killer, James Holmes, you remember him, he was that red-haired freak that shot up the movie theater during the Batman movie. He killed 27 people. Well, they did a toxicology screen on him and the report came back. There were no drugs found in his system. Adam Lanza, the Sandy Hook killer, the same thing. There were no drugs in his system either. And we're not just talking illegal, but no meds either. No drugs at all. And see, that's the problem. Holmes had been on psychotropic drugs since he was a kid. I think since he was 12 years old. He was acting up in class, so they put him on meds. His mother was a nurse, and she gave him the meds herself every morning before he went to school. And this continued all the way through undergrad college. So then he moves to grad school in Colorado and immediately stops taking his medications. And ironically, I think he was also a psychology student at the University of Colorado, Denver. And he was kicked out because he was acting so erratically. Why? Because he stopped taking his medications cold turkey. There's a crash course of major no-nos, folks. Don't go cold turkey when you're on this stuff. These are serious meds. It's bad enough to be on them, but then to just immediately stop them without weaning yourself off, horrible. I mean, what happens when you do that with cocaine or anything worse than that, all right? Adam Lanza was the same thing. He stopped taking his prescription medications. Do you see a pattern here? Because I certainly do. So here's two thoughts. First of all, this is not an epidemic, because as I said, I can't catch it from you. And number two, it's not just shootings. It's mass shootings. There's a big difference. And yes, George, they're mass shootings, even if they're in Cali, Texas, or Colorado, okay? And these are all white, middle-class kids who grew up taking these prescription drugs and playing those violent video games. But it's mostly the drugs that are responsible for this. These kids have grown up with their brains hardwired on this stuff. So take away the Ritalin and the Adderall and similar drugs, and now all of a sudden, you've gotten rid of most mass shootings. There's your answer. The root cause is not the AR-15. That's an effect, but it's not the cause. Look, folks, 86 people were mowed down in France a couple years ago with a guy driving a truck. And it wasn't even an assault truck. It was just a normal truck, which was also an effect, but once again, not the cause. So to say we have an epidemic of gun violence is just ludicrous. It's an epidemic of over-prescribing these drugs. What are these drugs? Do you know? Do you know what Ritalin is? It's pharmaceutical-grade cocaine. Yeah, cocaine. These doctors are getting our kids hooked on legalized coke. And we wonder why they go berserk? They're going through withdrawal when they quit taking them. When I was that age, I was pretty angry myself, and I had dozens of guns. Did I ever use them to commit mass murder? No. Why? Because I wasn't on drugs. Guns have been around for hundreds of years, folks. They're not a modern invention. They're not something that came around last week or a few years ago. We've had guns for hundreds of years, and there haven't been mass shootings until recently. So it's not the guns. If it were, where guns are banned, crime theoretically would be reduced, but in fact, it's the complete opposite. If you think guns are responsible for crime, just take a look at Switzerland. By law, by Swiss law, there is a full auto gun and ammunition for that gun in every household. And they have one of the lowest crime rates in the world. And to my knowledge, Switzerland has never been invaded. Even Germany knew better than to invade Switzerland during two wars. So it's not the guns. It's the people. And it's the condition of the people. George is resting his head in his paws because I have gone way over on a break, so I'm not going to take one today. This does actually happen sometimes where I get on a really good topic and it's best not to break it in half. Take a short break and come back, but just keep you occupied with a really good topic. And that's what's happening again today. So George, as long as you got your head on your paws, just take a nap, little dude, because I can finish this up without you. I mentioned California several times during the show today, so I want to go back and talk a little bit more about the formerly great state of California, the Republic of California, which has essentially become a third world country, or as I refer to them, turd world countries because of what comes from them. But even as bad as Puerto Rico is, I mean, Puerto Rico is essentially a third world country. But now in California, it's not the whole state itself, but there are pockets of California that are essentially third world countries. Parts of San Francisco and Los Angeles in particular, these sanctuary cities where all these people are coming and being told that they can stay without fear of prosecution, is completely changing the demographics of that state and especially of those areas. Now, let me give you an example. Right now in Los Angeles, they have a huge problem in City Hall with typhus. I mean, that's typhoid fever, folks. Okay, that's what Typhoid Mary had. And she was jailed for life for essentially committing a crime that she hadn't knowingly committed. She was a transmitter of typhus. And what's happening is these people are coming across the border with all of these turd world diseases, and they're spreading them. So you've got rats that are being bitten by fleas that are carrying typhus, which are then biting the workers of City Hall, and it's a huge problem. For some reason, I don't know why, but the municipal buildings in Los Angeles have a huge rat problem. Maybe they should bring in some cats or set some traps or something like that. I don't know. But it's a huge problem. A lot of city workers in Los Angeles have come down with typhoid fever. And it's not just typhus. Measles are coming back. Smallpox is coming back. The plague is coming back. Even leprosy is coming back. People think that they were eradicated. And they were here in the United States, but not everywhere else in the world. So now you have all these people coming here illegally, bringing these diseases with them. They're bringing them across the border. You thought the drug trade was bad for this country? I'd a whole lot rather have 10 times more cocaine smuggled across the border than all of these diseases that they're bringing with them. You know, our children now are not being vaccinated because we don't trust the government, what they're putting in these vaccines. So now, these kids come across, they're here illegally, they're infecting our schools, they're infecting our children. This is a serious problem. But this is what happens when you ignore federal law, folks. And they've been doing this for years. Now, they are actually saying now that they want to ignore all federal laws. So they're essentially acting as their own country. California even has a travel ban to other states. Were you aware of this? I mean, obviously they don't enforce it, but they put out a list of states that you should not visit if you live in the state of California. It's insane. This is it's gone completely overboard. It really has. It's to the point now of insanity, and we've allowed it to happen. But the time is fast approaching when we need to put an end to this. We've got judges that have been appointed to the Ninth Circuit Court now. They're actually looking at enforcing the Constitution, not ignoring it the way the other judges were. This stuff's got to stop. It's got to stop, folks. It's got to change. We cannot continue to allow these states to act as renegade independent countries. They're not. They are states. This is a nation of laws, and these states need to uphold those laws. They need to enforce those laws, and most of all, they need to obey those laws. If they choose to ignore those laws, then perhaps they don't belong in the United States. Perhaps California really should become an independent country. It's got the 7th largest economy in the world. The problem is that California is a U.S. state, and it depends upon the United States to maintain all of its money coming in, to be able to sell those products. If the rest of the United States shut off California, it would go broke. It would go bankrupt almost overnight. I'll guarantee you a lot of those companies that are based in Silicon Valley would move out right quick, as we say here in the South. Right quick, so they couldn't survive. Yeah, they got a strong economy as part of the United States, but not independently. California could not survive on its own without the United States backing it up. See, that's what they tend to forget. They're ignoring U.S. law. They're ignoring federal law by declaring these sanctuary cities and actually declaring an entire sanctuary state. But they're able to do this because of the federal dollars coming in. If you remove those federal dollars, you see, then the balance tends to kind of tip in the opposite direction, and things don't quite make so much sense anymore, because now you have a state acting as its own country that is full of the scum and the riffraff that have left the other countries that are third world countries to begin with, and they are the lowest of the low, the worst of the worst, the criminals, the people with IQs below 20, who have now filled the state of California. And the state cannot support them. They need to work. They need to do something. And without the federal tax dollars coming in that you and I are donating from other states, other parts of the country, they could not continue to survive. And this hasn't quite dawned on them yet. They have this mindset, we're going to do whatever we want, whenever we want, and if you don't like it, we're going to secede. But it won't work. It will never work. If California seceded, I don't think they would last 6 months before they went bankrupt. But maybe that's what they need. Maybe they need to learn that lesson the hard way for themselves. States like California, Connecticut, Massachusetts have lost business after business that have fled to the South. Now you have New York offering all these incentives for businesses to come back to New York, where they were taxed so badly that they left. The same thing is happening in California. The people are being taxed to death, and they are fleeing in droves. And it's the rich people that are leaving. It's the middle class that are leaving. The poor, the uneducated, are staying behind. And please don't get me wrong. If you're white and you're well-educated and you're still living in California, this is not an insult against you, okay? I'm just saying that for the most part, the people who are leaving, who are fleeing in droves, are the intelligent people who can go elsewhere and start over. And all that's being left are the people who are draining the system, not contributing to it. Big difference. And on that note, my friends, I am out of time. I've really enjoyed doing the show with you, and I really hope that my tongue wasn't too bad. I mean, I can hear it when I speak. I really hope it didn't ruin the show, because I really, really enjoyed doing the show. I think this was a good topic. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Till next week, my friends, it's been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. As always, stay safe, stay free. Stay secure, stay educated, but by all means, stay tuned, because I'll be back again next week. It's been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.